I want to take you on a very short journey. And the Holy Spirit is kind of a, I call him Holy Ghost sneaky sometimes, because he just sneaks up on you. And he does things that are very, very different than what we would expect. He has not stopped pushing my buttons about the priesthood. And I don't know when it's going to stop, but I'm going to go for the ride for as long as he wants it. So I want to take you to the book of Hebrews. You're not the coffee makers. This is not for the ladies. It's only for the men. We brew. Amen? That was a joke. Get over it. Hebrews chapter 7. Ladies are not allowed to make coffee, see? Just the way it is. Okay? Hebrews 7, verse 1. This Melchizedek was king of Salem, which is the king of what? Peace. Salem was also Jerusalem. It had a previous name called Salem. And a priest of God Most High. Now, you say, why are you pressing that button? Because God Most High was the God that Jesus served. Then it says, he met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything, 10%. First, his name means King of Righteousness. How many know we've been pushing those buttons for quite a while? That righteousness is a gift when you accept Jesus. It does not mean that you have to earn it, because you can't. What it means is that it's a gift coming from the Father through Christ to each of us. And as we believe that we have received his righteousness, it becomes a reality in us. So, he met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings. Those kings, by the way, were ungodly kings. But Melchizedek blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, his name means King of Righteousness. Then also King of Salem, which means King of Peace. How many know when you're in turmoil, peace can be the wonderful, awesome gift? And when you know that it's coming from God, you know that it's not coming from you. Now, the next part is kind of weird. This Melchizedek king and priest had no father or mother. Without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life. Like the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. Now that's a strange comment, because everybody in the earth supposedly had a beginning and an end. But this Melchizedek didn't have a genealogy. Anybody know what the genealogy of Jesus was? He's the son of? David. Yeah, David came hundreds and hundreds of years before. Now, this king of peace and of righteousness had a purpose. And the scriptures by St. Paul, I believe, in verse 4 gives us quite a piece of information. Just think of how great he was. Even the patriarch Abraham gave him a tenth of the plunder. Now the law requires the descendants of Levi who become priests to collect a tenth from the people. Even though their brothers are descended from Abraham, this man, however, did not trace his descent from Levi. Yet, he collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed him who had the promise. And without doubt, the lesser person is blessed by a greater person. In one case, the tenth is collected by men who die. But in the other case, by him who is declared to be living. Pretty powerful stuff, huh? One might even say that Levi, who collected the tenth, paid the tenth through Abraham. Because when Melchizedek met Abraham, Levi was still in his body of his ancestor, meaning his grandfather. Or great-grandfather, actually. How does that work? If you look at the DNA that has been made known in the past 100 years, they actually can prove your ancestry through your DNA. So, I think sometimes we have a tendency to think that science is against God. But really, science is really proving that God is real. And so, we'll keep on going for a moment. Take a good look at verse 11. If perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of the law was given to the people, why was there still a need for another priest to come? One in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron. That, by the way, was Moses' brother. Verse 12. For when there is a change of the priesthood, there must also be a change of the law. So if you're still living under the Ten Commandments, just remember they were placed by Moses inside the Ark of Covenant, and the mercy seat was placed on top. And we know Jesus was the mercy seat. Verse 13. He of whom these things are said belong to a different tribe, and no one from that tribe was ever served at the altar. For it is clear that our Lord descended from Judah and is regarded to that tribe. Moses was nothing about priest, and what we have said is even more clear. Another priest like Melchizedek appears. One who has become a priest, not on the basis of a regulation or of his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life. For it is declared, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The Lord declared that word over his own son. And all I can tell you is, when I first began to understand what he was calling his church to be, was a family of kings and priests, I did not comprehend that this priest called Melchizedek was also a king. So you could be both. He had no beginning or end. Does anybody have a clue who he is? It's got to be the Lord. Exactly. So in other words, the Lord showed up and visited with his creation. Some of them caught on. Abraham did catch on, because he paid the 10%. You wouldn't give 10% of everything you own or everything you conquered unless there was a press. Amen? Now, verse 18 is going to bring you to another another level of understanding of why the law had to be abolished, basically. The Farm Regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless. For the law made nothing perfect. So the Ten Commandments did not make anything perfect. That's what it says. And a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath. Others became priests without any oath, but he became a priest with an oath. When God said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind, you are a priest forever." Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better agreement. That's the word covenant. Now, there has been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to him, who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for me. If the word "them" is in your Bible, I changed it so that you can understand. Such a high priest meets our need. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifice day after day. For his own sins, and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once and for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who are weak. But the oath which came after the law appointed the Son who has been made perfect for a little while. Oh, my Bible isn't right. Kim's version would kind of go with religion. But the word says forever. The priesthood of Melchizedek is forever. The king himself, king and high priest, in that order, is sitting at our Father's right hand, interceding for us, making sure that we get to the victory line. Now, do you always feel like a priest?
No.
Oh, really? Do you feel like a king?
No.
Do you go by feelings?
No.
How many feel that sometimes they do go by feelings?
Oh.
Yeah. My emotions get the best of me. I back into the wrong place. I cry out, "Jesus." Who shows up?
He does.
My high priest is on the job immediately because I said his name.
Amen.
There are times that's going to be your emergency prayer.
Amen.
And his intercession will put you back on track. Instead of bowled over under the anointing of all the pressure and the darkness that has tried to hurt you and destroy you. So what I've learned over the years, I am a priest. I'm also a king. Sometimes I don't act like a priest. Sometimes I don't act like a king. That's when me is in charge. But when he's in charge, I get to know that he's with me every step of the way. My emotions take a back seat. My heart says trust by choice. And I go forward to the best of my ability. What have I learned? I'm not alone. I never will be alone because, you see, my Savior and my healer, he's on the job forever. And I believe, like Abraham, Sometimes we don't see the answer to our prayer right away.
Yours took like almost 12 years. But the miracle that God has provided has only begun. And I can only say that
my little girl, who's turning 9, or turned 9, I asked her in the stairway this morning, "How's it feel to be 9? You were 8 last Sunday, now you're 9. She says, "No real difference." She had a big smile, and I gave her a hug. And you know, if it wouldn't have been for God, I might have lost those 2 kids. If it wasn't for a pastor in Northampton who called and told me to get my butt into the hotel on Route 5 that night, which, by the way, was Halloween night, and I didn't want to go. What if I didn't go? Would God have found another way? Yeah, I think he would have found another way. Because how many know you miss sometimes? But he's still on the job. That high priest is not to be the only one in the heavens. He's adopted you in that family. His DNA came through the bread. Came through his blood. You say, "Well, how can that be?" You'll know it by his fruit. You'll know it when he's done something in you that you could have never performed on your own. Now close your eyes. Heavenly Father, my prayer is for those that feel totally helpless and hopeless in the body of Christ, that have questioned their sanity, just like I did. And today, these that are here are being developed and pressed to develop their priesthood and to intercede for those that are broken and to pray and asking God for grace, not just for today, but in the days ahead, so that the miracles that have been prepared will manifest on time for God and for his glory, in Jesus' name.